Job chapter 42, and our text for today is the verse 7. Verse 7, and it was so, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath has kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. I want to concentrate especially upon those words, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job. We'll deal with the second part of the verse, Lord willing, next time that we're dealing with this chapter. After they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was great. Job 2 and verse 13. Job no doubt appreciated the company of his three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. Since everyone else had forsaken him in his affliction and in his misery, he would have been glad of anyone's company under such circumstances. And we're told that during those 7 days and 7 nights, the three friends of Job had certainly conducted themselves commendably, as true friends do. They identified themselves with him in his affliction in the best way that they could. You turn back to Job chapter 2 and verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. And we are told in the verse 11 again that they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And we are told when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. And they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. In these verses, we cannot help but notice how the three friends sympathize with Job. We notice their sharing. For we are told that they came to mourn. Notice the words. They came to mourn with him. They didn't come and stand afar off. They came to mourn with him. They were in mourning also. So they shared in his grief. That's what true friends are for. That's what true friends will do. We see not only their sharing, but also their seeing. Because we're told they lifted up their eyes. They lifted up their eyes and they looked upon him. Some people look upon the sick, but they don't really see anything. From time to time I ask a fellow minister about a man in his congregation who has been ill for some time. He's had surgery, and I ask the minister, how is so-and-so doing? minister says, oh, he's not good. He's lost a lot of weight. But he does his best. He comes to all the meetings, but I'm concerned about him. He's not good. That's the minister's view. I speak to another man in that same congregation. And I asked him, how's so-and-so doing? The same person. Oh, he's doing fine. He's looking great. He's doing well. Some people look upon the sick and they don't see anything. They may be caught up in their own ailments. But when the three friends of Job came to him, they saw something. They lifted up their eyes. And when they lifted up their eyes, we're told they lifted up their voices and wept. There's their sorrow. That's the mark of true friendship. You see their sorrow. They lifted up their voice and wailed at the sight of their dear friend Job. And we notice they're sitting, we're told, they sat down with him on the ground. Notice what was said in the verse 11. They made an appointment together to come to mourn with him, to comfort him. Now in verse 13, and they sat down with him. They're with him in his affliction. They're with him in his sorrow. They're with him in his pain. They're with him in his suffering. They're with him. And there's Job, and he's sitting in the dust and the ashes. And where do his three friends sit? They sat down with him. They came down to his level. They didn't stand afar off. They didn't look down their noses at him. They came and they sat down with him. That's what used to, well, I could say amuse me. It used to annoy me. Not so much here, but more so over in Ulster, where you've been visiting folk in hospital on a regular basis. And there'd be times you'd be in the hospital ward and visiting the person you'd gone to see. And an old ecumenical minister came in to visit somebody in the next bed. And you could overhear them talking. And without fail, those ministers, you would have thought they were talking to a child. You know, looking down their noses at them. And if you didn't know the person in the bed next, in the next bed, you say there must be a child in that bed. The minister didn't come down to the level of the patient and pull up a chair and sit beside him and talk to him as man to man. Well, the three friends of Job came and they sat down on the ground with him. They didn't try and distance themselves from him. They're with him. Let us endeavor to be with our friends when they're being afflicted. To join with them. To sit down with them. To come down to their level. To feel their sorrow as best we can. To feel their suffering as best we can. Notice their sincerity also. For we are told that they sat upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights. That's a long time. They were sincere in their sorrow. This was no hasty visit. They were sincere in their sorrow and their sympathy. We pointed this out before. They sat with Job 7 days and 7 nights. Whenever you're being afflicted, whenever you've perhaps lost a loved one, what's the worst time? Worst time's at night. Job, I have no doubt, was very appreciative of the company of those three friends of his during the night seasons. That's when it's loneliest of all. It's all right during the day when people are in and there's a buzz about the house and people are there to sympathize. But it's night. It's when the loneliest time begins. But his three friends were there 7 days and 7 nights. Notice also their silence. None spake a word unto him. Such circumstances, sometimes it's better to remain silent, say nothing. Just to be there. And the person who's suffering, they perhaps don't need to hear anything. Just have somebody sit with them. Hold their hand. Put an arm around them. Just let them know they're there. Solomon said, and there is a time to keep silence. There's a time to speak. Ecclesiastes 3 and 7. Job's three friends were wise in this regard, but it is a pity that they didn't remain silent a while longer. For after 7 days and 7 nights, Job's three friends broke their silence. And Eliphaz was the first to speak. And when he did speak, he said some very cruel things to Job. We read in verse 1 of chapter 4, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upheld in him that was falling. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. And you go on reading down through there, and Eliphaz makes it very clear that he believes that what had come upon Job was because of his sin. Eliphaz made it clear he believed that what had come upon Job was the judgment of God. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth, because Job was a perfect man, upright. None like him in all the earth. He feared God and he eschewed evil. Eliphaz was wrong. He'd have been safer remaining silent. He'd have been safer saying nothing. But after he and his two friends spoke, then Elihu came upon the scene. And he spoke to Job. And then it was time for the Lord to speak. In chapter 38 and verse 1, the Lord speaks. The Almighty addressed Eliphaz and his three friends. Each of them had to listen. He spoke to Job, then he spoke to Eliphaz, and through Eliphaz he spoke to Job's three friends. Each of them had to listen to the voice of God and be told some home truths about themselves, Job included. And that's one of the reasons why we're here today. That's one of the reasons why we come here every Lord's Day, to listen for the voice of God. We come to hear God's Word. Why else would we come? We would gain no benefit in coming here today if this book was not in this pulpit and this book was not opened. We'd be wasting our time. We need to listen to the voice of God. And I want us to look this morning, first of all, at Job and the Word of God. Our text begins, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job." You will notice that the word "so" is in italics, indicating it's not in the original, but it was put there by our honest translators. "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job," so you can read it, "and it was that after the Lord spoke these words unto Job." And so the Lord here speaks about, first of all, Job's response. His response to the word of the Lord. It says, "And it was." What was? Well, it was something that took place after the Lord spoke to Job. Is that what it says? "And it was that after the Lord spoke to Job." So what happened after the Lord spoke to Job? Evidently, Job responded to the word the Lord had spoken to him. When the Lord speaks to us by His word, it is important that we respond. We listen and we respond to that word. This responding to the Lord's word is what James the apostle emphasized. We're familiar with those words in James in chapter 1 and verse 22. Listen. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, what's James talking about? He's talking about responding to the word of God. If we hear the word, God expects us to respond to the word. And so James says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed," or the word is, "in his doing." What will it profit us if we hear the word of the Lord and do not respond to it? It will be of no profit to us at all. What if we don't respond to the word of exhortation about our service? The Lord exhorts us to serve Him. What if we don't respond to that word? Well, then, we'll miss out with God. Isn't that what James said? If we're a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing. And so you see, you can miss out with God if you don't respond to the word. What if we don't respond to the word of examination of our soul? The word of God goes forth. The word of the Lord examines our hearts. The word of the Lord challenges our souls, exposes our sin, exposes our lack of zeal, exposes our besetting sins? What if we don't respond to that? Then we will carry on as usual and we will miss out with God. If we do not respond to the word of the Lord, we'll miss out with God. Remember what James says? Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This man shall be blessed in his deed. See, believer, the Lord expects us to hear and the Lord expects us to respond. And if we don't, the Lord will not bless us. It's not what we often pray for. It's not what we have been considering in the Beatitudes. Blessed is he. Blessed is the man. We're always praying for blessing. Well, here the Lord is offering us a way to blessing. But if we do not walk in that way, if we do not respond to the word, then we needn't complain. Oh, the Lord doesn't bless me. Job responded to the Lord's word. And we just read there how the Lord blessed Job. Gave him twice as much as he had before. We hear the voice of the Lord today. We can put it to the test now. We hear the voice of the Lord today. Will we, by God's grace, respond to what we hear? Will we respond to the word if we are challenged about our walk with God? Will we respond to the word if we are challenged about our waiting upon God? Will we respond to the word if we are challenged about our witness for God? Or will we just let it pass us by and miss out on God's blessing? Let us ever be ready to respond to the Lord's word as it comes to us by the Spirit of truth. Over in John 14, we have already considered the Lord Jesus as our great example. We did so last Wednesday night. And in John 14 and verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," how often has the Lord asked us to do things for him? And here the Lord Jesus says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." I'll do it for you. Whatever you ask me, I'll do it for you. Now, whatever I ask you, will you do it for me? That's the test. The Lord responds to our prayers. Why will we not respond to his pleadings? You have Job's response. Then you have Job's repentance. Upon hearing the word of the Lord, we see how Job was humbled. Something we dealt with in those verses of this chapter. Job said some foolish things before the Lord spoke to him. He was brought to see his folly and the folly of his ways and was greatly humbled. Chapter 40, and there in verses 3 and 5. And Job answered the Lord. and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Job is saying to the Lord, I have said too much. I've said too much. I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further and not say anything more. Job is saying, the things that I have said were foolish and folly. You look at the conversation the Lord had with Job. Begins in chapter 38. I took time to read through all those verses. It's made up practically of questions only. You know how many questions the Lord asked Job? 92. The Lord challenged Job with 92 questions. The Lord, as it were, was letting Job see. He wasn't the wise man he thought he was. And the Lord asked him 92 questions. How many questions did Job answer? None. Didn't have an answer for any of them. That humbles you, doesn't it? Someone thinks that he knows it all until he's challenged, his knowledge, his wisdom is challenged. And if he can't answer any of the questions, he's humbled. Job is humbled. Over the course of his sufferings, Job had at times put forth his views according to man's wisdom. He never spoke against the Lord. The Lord makes that clear to Eliphaz. But he answered according to man's wisdom. And in chapter 40 and verse 4, Job said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Upon hearing the word of the Lord, Job was prepared to humble himself. And I'm afraid that is not every Christian. Not every Christian is prepared to do so. When their foolishness has been exposed, and they've been shown to be foolish and has been pointed out to them, their pride will not allow them to say, I was wrong. Their pride will not allow them to bow to the authority and the truth of God's word. Yet, as we have already learned, to not respond to the Lord's word is to greatly miss out with God. James has informed us. James has made this clear, saying, Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Peter's exhortation is of a similar nature. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The Lord will bless the humble. Job took the humble place. Job got down before the Lord in dust and ashes, and Job confessed to the Lord, I'm a foolish man. I will put my hand over my mouth. I will say no more. Job humbled himself. Job was not only humble, Job was horrified. The word of the Lord so exposed Job's foolishness and sin that he cries, first of all, I am vile. Now these are the words that came from the lips of a man whom God said there was none like him, whom God said was perfect and upright, whom God said he fears me and he eschews evil. And this same man said, I am vile. He feels his guilt. He feels his sin. He's sensitive to sin. And many Christians are insensitive to sin. When he saw the holiness of God, I have heard thee, chapter 42, verse 5, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself. That's what we need, believer. We need to see God by faith. We need to see the holiness of God. Because if you and I see the holiness of God, we will say with Job, I am vile. It'll take away all pride and all self-centeredness and all selfishness when we see who and what we really are in the sight of the holiness of a holy God. He said, I abhor myself. That's a very strong word that Job used. The word means, and is otherwise translated, despise, cast off, disdain, loathe, refuse. I'm like the refuge that's thrown out in the dump. So I see myself now. And there I was pontificating. There I was using the words of man's wisdom. How vile I am. I abhor myself. I have made a terrible mistake. Have we ever been there? Have we ever been so humbled before God that we say, Lord, I am vile. I abhor myself. That's what the conscientious Christian sees when the light of God's word shines into the deep and hidden crevices of the heart and the dark corridors of the mind. When our sin is exposed in this way, we'll abhor ourselves too. Like that day that Peter denied the Lord for the third time. When the cock crew, says the Lord turned, looked at Peter, and it says Peter went out and wept bitterly. The word wept there means he went out and walked down the street bawling, crying aloud. Why? Yes, he knew he had denied the Lord, but that wasn't at all. For it says the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and that look was enough. The Lord didn't say anything to him. He just looked at him. And that look of Christ with those eyes of fire burned away his hypocrisy and looked into the dark, hidden crevices of Peter's heart. And Peter knew what the Lord saw there. And Peter went out weeping. Like Job abhorred himself. How important it is for us to hear the voice of God. If Job had not have listened to the voice of the Lord, he still would have been in his sin. He wouldn't have known anything about his foolishness. But what did he do? I repent. I repent. What do we do when our sin is exposed? We repent. Because you see, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Praise the Lord. We don't have to live with our sin. We don't have to live with our foolishness. We can have them put under the blood forever, never to be remembered against us anymore forever. What those the accuser roared of evils I have done, I know them all, sure, and thousands more, but Jehovah findeth none. Why? Because they're under the blood. That's the importance of giving ear to the Word, listening to the Word. We listen to the Word and we become a doer of the Word. James tells us, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. If we're not a doer of the Word, we'll miss out in God's blessing. That leads us in the last place to Job's restoration. We've seen his response, his repentance, his restoration. Not that Job had fallen into any deep scarlet sins, but he had been wise in his own eyes and had uttered foolish things. The word of the Lord had wounded him. But now the word of the Lord heals him. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord and his word. The Lord, if he wounds us through his word, he will never leave an open wound. Because he will give us a word that will heal up that wound. He'll give us a word to comfort us. A parent may have to discipline their child. And maybe wound the pride of that child. But after the discipline has been meted out, mum or dad will throw their arms around that child to let them know they love them. And the discipline was for their good. Well, we have a loving Heavenly Father who will discipline us. And his word, which is the sharp two-edged sword of the Holy Spirit, will at times wound us, convict us, rebuke us. But the Lord never leaves an open wound. He'll give us a word then that'll bind up the wound. That's what he did with Job. He wounded Job, and Job said, I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself. There's the wound. And repent in dust and ashes. But then, verse 8, the Lord says, and I, my servant Job, shall pray for you. For him will I accept. No, he didn't cast Job out on the scrap heap. No, he didn't say to Job, I have no more use for you. Instead, him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. There's the healing. Job may have said some foolish things, but the Lord says, I still accept Job. The Lord told Moses, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. And after he had convinced and humbled Job and brought him to repentance, the Lord now owns and commends him for saying that which was right. Good man, Job. He didn't say anything wrong against the Lord. He may have said some foolish things, but he always said that which was right regarding the Lord. We notice how the Lord addressed Job. Four times. In verses 7 and 8. Four times. The Lord said, my servant Job. Four times here. Once in chapter 1 verse 8. And chapter 2 verse 3. Six times in all. Six times in all. The Lord said, my servant Job. Six, the number of man. Just short of perfection. There's only one perfect man, that's Christ. The Lord informs Job that in spite of his foolish words, the Lord says, you're still my servant. What a delight that is. Like the disciples, the seven disciples that went fishing, six of them followed Peter when Peter says, I go a-fishing. They were in a backslidden state, and the other six went with Peter, and they fished all night, caught nothing, and in the morning the stranger stood on the shore. And what did the stranger say? Children, have ye any meat? See, they were still his children. They had denied him, they had forsaken him, Peter, with oaths and curses, yet the Lord still called them his children. And after all the foolishness exhibited by Job, the Lord still calls him my servant. Whenever we make a mistake, when we sin, when we do wrong, the devil tells us, you're finished. Well, the devil's a liar. I've been a liar from the beginning. But whenever the Lord called Job or said to Job, my servant Job, he was part of a very elite number of men. You think of all the Bible characters that you read about in Scripture. Very few of them are called by the Lord my servant. He spoke about my servant Abraham. He said my servant Moses. He said my servant Caleb. He said my servant David. He said my servant Jacob. He said my servant Job. He said, my servant Isaiah. There's only seven men, seven Old Testament characters who were ever called by the Lord my servant. Just seven. Job's one of the seven. There's only other one person who's called my servant. Isaiah 42 verse 1, and that is Jesus Christ. So you can see Job and the others were in good company. Job listened to the word of the Lord. How comforting to know that in spite of our faults and our failings and our foolishness, our standing with God remains the same. Our standing remains the same. A son may grieve his father. A son may leave home and go to the uttermost parts of the world, but he's still that Father's son. We may grieve the Lord and go far from him, but we're still his child. Nothing has changed. Oh, we miss out with God, all right. You have the Lord addressing Job, and you have the Lord acceptance of Job. Job had maintained a good testimony throughout his days of affliction. He always said that which was right. And the Lord said, him will I accept. Mark the word. Him will I accept. This brings us back to what James said. Listen. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. You know what the word accept means? It means to lift up. Means to lift up. Isn't that what Job did? He humbled himself. He confessed his sin. He confessed his foolishness. He repented in dust and ashes. And what did the Lord do? The Lord says, him will I accept, him will I lift up. Exactly what James said. So after humbling himself under the mighty hand of God, the Lord lifted him up. Shows you how important it is to listen to the word, doesn't it? The Lord has spoken to us today, as I believe he has. That's why he brought us here. Will we then respond to what we heard today? You know the areas of your life that you need to respond to in the Word. You respond to the Word. James says the Lord will bless you. That's what we want, isn't it? We want the blessing of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Father and our eternal God, we come to thee in the Saviour's holy and wonderful name. We thank thee for the perfect man, in whom there was no guile, in him who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And the one whom the Lord said the devil had nothing in him. One of whom the Father in heaven was able to say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Lord, we who know him today are well pleased too. Lord, bless us as we will soon sit at the table. And for any, Lord, who must leave, may thy blessing go with them. Lord, for those of us who will stay, come and draw near. Even as Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. May we see thee today with the eye of faith, hanging there in that center tree, in our room instead. Bless us, Lord, we pray, around thy table today. May thy blessing go with us all. In the holy name of Christ, we ask these things. Amen.